Amen. Thank you, Ms. Paya, for finding that peace. Good morning, everyone. Welcome on this Memorial Weekend. We are gathered, and my train of thought just derailed. There were no survivors. Have you ever had that feeling? I had someone else the other day say, I'm still playing with a full deck. I just shuffle a lot slower than I used to. So we're all in that boat, and we are in the midst of. This is Memorial Day weekend. The office is closed on Monday, which is going to be interesting because that's really the day that Paya and I coordinate and try and get all of our things together and get organized. So we'll have to do that the hard way and do that virtually. Are there other things going on this week that we need to mention and lift up by way of announcements, special things that you should be aware of? I am distancing from you, but you need to be aware that the numbers on COVID are going up again. Ellen, you just shared with us that at her gathering place down south, they said virtually everybody has COVID right now. So it's going around. It doesn't have the same consequences, but our numbers are going back up, so we leave that to everyone else to just kind of determine how they want to do that, how they want to be about taking care of themselves and being prepared. So we leave you that to you, and we pray that we will all continue to remain healthy and present. So any other announcements by way of the good of the order? We just want to double check, see that we've got everything. Debbie Gunther has something.
Good morning. First off, my weekly reminder, we do have the second boosters at Tri-County Health Department at Colfax and Chambers. This week it would be Tuesday and Thursday afternoon. So you can come in there, no appointment necessary for those days. Nextly, I want to say thank you to everybody from Diana Hunt, Ellen, Don and Tom Larson, and Carol Danielson that helped with in the last 2 weeks with the clothing giveaway. What we didn't give away yesterday, we took to a couple people took to Goodwill. So thank you very much for everybody that helped. And the crop fundraisers, we did terrific last month at Great Greek. We made $400, which is unbelievable. And then this month will be, June will be at Applebee's on June 22nd. And of course, when we get close, I'll have the flyers out. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that good work. Mission work, there are families that depend on that the clothing drive and the clothing that we offer to them. Some of them have not reconnected with our change in schedule since the COVID lockdown. So we are feeding and caring for a larger community than you're aware. And Debbie, thank you again for being the point person on that. Anything else for the good of the order? Pi, anything we need to remember? Those of you who depend upon the elevator, it is not dependable right at the moment. And we had technicians come this week, but there were glitches and they had to reschedule. We're working on that. Don't give up on us. We won't give up on the elevator. If need be, we're going to tie a rope, you see. And not really. All right. Anything else for the good of the order? Stand, if you will. Wave hello to everyone. Let us turn to our call to worship.
Have they greeted enough? Okay. Please remain standing for the call to worship. The Lord is King. Let the earth rejoice. Let the many coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of the Lord's throne. The heavens proclaim the Lord's righteousness. All the people behold the Lord's glory. The Lord loves those who hate evil. The Lord guards the lives of the faithful. They are rescued from the hand of the wicked. Light dawns for the righteous. Joy comes to the upright in heart. Please remain standing for the hymn.
Join me for The Faith of Our Fathers, page 710 in the hymnal. Be seated.
The first scripture reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 16 through 23. You can find it in your Pew Bible New Testament on page 128. One day, as we were going to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit of divination and brought her owners a great deal of money by fortune telling. While she followed Paul and us, she would cry out, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." She kept doing this for many days, but Paul, very much annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I order you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out that very hour. But when her owners saw that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. The word of the Lord.
By way of our prayer time, our gathering of family of concerns and celebrations. Michael, would you bring the microphone down to Mark Doctor, please? We want to make you aware of, I have still heard nothing about arrangements for Roger Casper, who we lost. And I have not heard word from Suzanne Marquez, who had cataract surgery, but I have reason to believe things went well there. We continue to pray for the war in Ukraine, for those persons fighting, for the oppression, for all that's going on, praying for all involved, all of those who are fighting. So we continue to lift those. Renee's niece, Tara, had biopsies and is now considered cancer-free, and we are grateful, and all is good. Okay. Surgeries went well, but yeah, there are still some things to follow up on. Mark, would you please?
Got an email this morning from Charlie Morrell. Is that right?
Yep.
And she had a fall on April 6th when she was taking the trash out, broke her knee, fell, broke her glasses, cut her face, 4 stitches, broke her eye socket, the bone around her eye socket. She is right now waiting for surgery. Her knee has been immobilized to about 20 degrees, and so she said she stays at home and she's following her education by reading the Bible. So even though she hasn't been in our midst, keep her in your hearts, send her some cards to let her know that even though she's not here, she has not forgotten. Blessings on you all. And she has a birthday too, I think.
I'll get to that.
Yeah. So, and that's the reason why we got a thing from her, so.
Okay. Other concerns in our midst, other things that we need to lift up. Mike is going somewhere wandering off. Oh, Holly, thank you. All right, go right ahead.
I just would ask prayers for Bob and I, but I'm having some tests this week because of some possibly pretty significant health things. So just keep us in your prayers, please. Thank you.
All right, prayers for Holly this week. Health concerns, all right. Richard Schneer, just to put the, don't mean to mention you by name or put the spotlight on you, which I am just doing. Are you COVID-free that you know of, or do you know? Is your COVID, have you tested yourself for COVID lately? Okay, so we were hoping that you had gotten over that, and so that's good news. Thank you, sir, for sharing that. Others, we are on our Memorial Sunday. We are not going to spend as much time on Memorial Sunday as is often the case, or as we have done in the past. Memorial Sunday, a day to remember those who have given their lives in service to our country, our military. I am wondering if indeed on Memorial Sunday we should not also recognize those who have given their life for the faith, those who have made the ultimate sacrifices. Ultimately, Abraham Lincoln made the sacrifices for justice in this nation. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King died for opposing injustices and championing the right ways, God's ways, and our Christianity. So we also lift all of those in our families, all that we know, all of our beloveds, and so we acknowledge all of those and we share in all of those memorializations. So I celebrate that on this Memorial Day. By way of celebrations, to Poe Mapa, and they are not here this morning, but Poe has grown up. If you have been watching, she is now a senior and she is as tall or taller than her mother, Lata. And she graduated with honors, and so we want to acknowledge her and celebrate her. Do we have other graduates that we know of, or celebrations and things in that order? My grandson chased some trains, and that's a celebration for me, but that's maybe a different sort of thing. Colin, Mike? Yes, but you do need a mic because we are streaming and our online people won't be able to hear you. So you do have a good, strong voice, Colin, and I acknowledge that, but Well, let's make sure and include our online persons. We have about an average of 8 different individuals sharing with us online every Sunday, so be aware of those.
God's peace to everybody. I just wanted to share something Steph had just shared with me. Hadley and Bo, small graduations, but Hadley just finished elementary school and Bo finished middle school. So prayers for two of our young people who are always here in the back and growing in the faith.
So make sure and celebrate them and congratulate them. Yeah. Other celebrations before I do the birthday anniversary list. Last Sunday was Pastor Neo's birthday. He turned 67. Last Wednesday, Wendy Burvey had a birthday. Last Thursday, Jim Latow had a birthday. He was 79. This Sunday is Lucinita Tolatau's birthday. I do not have a number of years on her, but is she 67 as well? All right. I was thinking she was 22, 23. So I have down here that June is coming and that June 1st, Carol Danielson has a birthday. Is that true, Miss Carol? Mike, we better give her the microphone because I believe that this is a milestone, no? 82. Oh, 80, just 82. Never mind, she doesn't count. 82 years young, celebration to you. Joe Richards isn't here. Joe and Monica have been moved from Savannah, bought the house next door to Ruth and Monroe to help care for them. And so he has a birthday Wednesday, same day. And that is Ruth and Monroe's anniversary. I have that they have been married 65 years. I don't have them here to verify that. But that's a celebration, so we need to acknowledge them. Charlie Morrell on June 2nd has a birthday. Darren Casper on June 5th. And Larry and Ruella Contour. Larry had his hip surgery, so they're not here. But on the Sunday, the 5th, is their anniversary. I do not have a number of years. Others. We've got a lot of celebrations, and of course, this is the birthday season, so, or the anniversary season, the wedding season, so we celebrate all of those. And all of those places where God is with us in our lives. God always with us, amen? Amen. Anything else for by way of prayers? Let's turn to our unison prayer and read responsively. Lord God, you continually gift us. Lord, you have brought life-giving water to our land. We celebrate and give thanks. Lord, help us remember Memorial Day, not just as a party commemorating the start of summer, but as a remembrance of those who lost their lives serving our country, as well as all the saints who rest from their labors. On this Memorial Sunday, we pray for all those who have passed. Lord, grant your peace to this world. Lord, recall us from our distraction to faithful worship at your feet. We give thanks for all we have received from you. Amen. Loving Lord God, it is to smile to gather in the late days of May and greet one another with Merry Christmas for the snow outside. The joy you give us through your creation and through the seasons, we take for granted too often. And out of that snow, the moisture that came, inches of water, watered desperately needed in drought-stricken areas. The water, the very waters of life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for those gifts of life and the waters that nourish us, the different ways that you fill our souls, that you lift us, and that you have blessed us. We are a very, very grateful people. Help us always give thanks. Help us acknowledge how much we have in a world where not everyone has been given as much. For others who are struggling, for others who are not free, for others for whom food and water are not given, who have no access to medicine, who have no access to liberty. Lord, we are a grateful people, and we turn to you and give you our thanks. As we come and gather now, we give thanks for our nation, our city, our state, our church, and all of those saints who have passed before us, who have shared these very pews and who have built this congregation, this family of God. We give thanks for those active here, those scattered, those too infirm to attend. And we give thanks, Lord, for your presence of the Holy Spirit in our midst, the Spirit that rests upon us each, giving our voices utterance to share Christ to the world. Lord God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, and we lift our voices in unison with other Christians in the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In our normal worship, this is our time of offering. You have been very faithful in giving, and giving in the plates, giving online, giving however you are giving, and we are grateful. It's keeping the lights on, keeping the water to water, and the staff together, so we are grateful. We turn now to our second scripture reading. I ask you to stand for the New Testament lesson as we hear Debbie Burns read it for us.
The second scripture reading is from Revelation chapter 22, verses 12 through 14, 16 through 17, and 20 through 21 in your New Testament Pew Bible on pages 245, 246 at the very end. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let everyone who hears say, Come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes to take the water of life do it as a gift. The one who testifies to these things says, Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen. The word of the Lord.
Let us sing Blessed Assurance. Please be seated.
I have bad news and good news. Bad news, somebody got into the gardens outside and cut a bunch of the flowers. Good news is it was Carol Danielson. She put them on the table. Yeah.
One moment. No, no sneezing this time. These are church flowers. No allergies.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you for that. And doesn't it remind us how blessed we are? Those are just growing out there, just wonderful, beautiful stuff. Amen. I'm going to work out of the Acts passage that Debbie read for us. Paul and Silas, they're offering Christ. They're busy. They're going about that. Paya, I didn't check with you. I gave her two slides. The first slide, if you would. Okay, that's a map of the Mediterranean. Whenever people talk in the Bible, when I was sitting where you are, I always got lost geographically. This helps us see where there. You see Jerusalem on the bottom right. That's the Mediterranean, Eastern Mediterranean. And Paul, and he's been up there. You can see Ephesus. They've passed up through Troas. And now we're in Philippi. So get some sense. We're at the top of the Aegean Sea, and we have made that journey. And they get there, and they are carrying on. And most people remember this scripture. They're busy with their stuff, and this slave woman annoys Paul. So he casts out her spirit of divination, and the owners are angry, and they have Paul and Silas, and they have them cast into chains. And the rest of that story continues, and that's where most people focus. They're in prison in the middle of the night, and the guard is there. And there's an earthquake, and there's noise, and there's carrying on, and all their shackles and stocks are broken open. The doors of the jail are broken open, and the jailer, seeing this, prepares to kill himself. And Paul shouts out, "Don't kill yourself, we're still here, we haven't left." And they sing hymns together, and the guard is converted. You remember that piece of the story? You've probably heard that. You've probably heard that preached on. And that's what a lot of the people are focusing on as they are about hearing this piece of Acts. We didn't read it. That's all I'm going to cover about that. Because I want to go back and talk to this story about Paul being annoyed by this slave girl. She's a slave girl. We need to remember and keep that in mind. And it's hard to get our minds around how slavery and ownership and owners were in that period of time. But she had a spirit of divination. This spirit inhabits her. Have you ever met anybody that was good at divination? My mother was sharp, and she could figure out a lot of things and predict a lot of things. I'm not saying she had a gift or a spirit, but she was just sharp enough to have a sense of what things were about. She could cut to the meat of an issue pretty quickly. Was it spirit of divination? Certainly not as much as what we expect out of this scripture. And this woman follows them around, and she says, "These men are slaves of the Most High God who proclaim to you a way of salvation." Yeah, there's the prison. Sorry, Paya. I forgot to tell her the other slide. See, there's the guard. He's getting ready to kill himself. And they're saying, no, hang tight, buddy. We're okay. And then they convert the guard. All right. You can go to the other slide now, Paya. I had it all organized. My train of thought had a derailment. There were no survivors. We heard that. Okay. So the woman is, and she's following them. And what is she saying? What did you hear her say? "These are the real McCoy. They really are. They are proclaiming the Most High God. These are the real ones." Now, you think Paul would have been standing around going, "This is me, this is us"? Because Paul had a bit of an ego. And you would expect that perhaps he would revel in all of this adulation and this being heralded, but he's annoyed. And that has puzzled me, and so I decided to kind of try and take that apart. I'm not sure I answered it. By the end of the sermon, you'll have to decide whether I've answered it or whether you can answer. Why is he annoyed? She is obviously authentic. It isn't like she's claiming something that's false. And she's about celebrating the good news. You remember there was another time when some people were proclaiming Jesus, and the disciples said, "Lord, they're teaching, you know, but they're not a part of our gathering." And Jesus, what did he tell them? "If they are not against us, they are for us. It's okay. We don't own this thing. Right is right. This girl is right. She's accurate. These are good God's workers. These are the real McCoy, as I said." But Paul is annoyed. Perhaps he's just reflecting on an Old Testament scripture. And it was clear to people in that day and age, good Jewish people. Deuteronomy says, "No one shall be found among you who practices divination or is a soothsayer or an augur or a sorcerer." These were other rites and other religions and other traditions. Let me step aside for a moment. In 1990, I led a mission team to Haiti. You've heard of Haiti, the poorest nation in our hemisphere. At any rate, we arrived there and we talked to some of the people, and you recall that Haiti, his native religion was voodoo. And so we talked about it a bit, and the woman there said the first people that came to Haiti, the first Christians, were Roman Catholics. And so they converted the voodoo worshipers to Catholicism, and they renamed all of the voodoo divinities. They just added the names of the saints to fit in with the same sets of gods and many gods. And so it was really just voodoo in a different name. But when the Protestants came in, they said, "No, there's only one God. There's only one way. And all of the rest of that must be set aside." And they said that was a major moment of transformation. People that would accept that idea and leave behind all of their many gods and their many icons and their many ways of being, that was a big step to give it all over to God. It's a big step for us, isn't it? Give up all of the other things that seem very important to us, that seem that the rest of the nation are claiming. None of this is in my sermon. Get me back here. Come on. Why do you suppose Paul is annoyed? He doesn't condemn the spirit when he casts it out. Did you hear that? Normally in an exorcism, "Come out, evil spirit, you know, be banished." There's a case when Jesus casts the spirits, the legion, into the pigs, recall, and then they run over the cliff, and they're evil, and they're cast out, and there's no dialogue with them. "Leave us alone, you most holy, high, worshipful." There's none of that. There's a simple ending of her soothsaying. We could try and analyze Paul, but I really don't want to. So if you want to, you can do that on your own and dive in with it. But let's just acknowledge this exorcism where Paul orders a spirit out of the slave girl. Her owners can no longer use her now to make money. They're pretty upset. They have Paul charged. And here's an interesting thing. They charge him not with destroying their source of income. They charge him with being Jews and disrupting things. I thought that was intriguing. Why wouldn't they say what Paul did? There's obvious that she has lost her spirit of divination, that Paul has cast this spirit out of her. He's done this exorcism, and they have lost their ability to make money with her. Was there a part of them that was aware of how unjust that was? Was there a part of them that acknowledged that this was usury? That this was false way of being humanity, to use another being to earn money for you? I don't know. We don't have any of that in the text. And what happens to the woman afterwards? We don't have a squeak. We don't hear a word. Did she go on to a better life? Was she still a slave girl? Probably. Was she esteemed by those who owned her? We don't know. We hope, perhaps, that she was able to find some better journey. At the very least, she was able to see God's agents and to have the testimony of the most faithful. But nonetheless, we need to stop and acknowledge this slave girl and this injustice that was going on. Slavery was there. Slavery was during Jesus' time, and did he confront that? There's a lot of arguments in a lot of different directions on that, because slavery is an injustice and is unacceptable. But here are the owners who are using her, using her gifts and graces, not for her in any way, but for their own gain. That's an injustice. That's usury. They're using her to make profit. They're abusing her abilities, if you will. So this becomes an issue of power and justice, does it not? We need to pause and think about that. We need to pause and think about the different ways and things that are about our culture and our humanity, where we might abuse some of our basic principles on the basis of benefit or profit. Sometimes it's so nebulous we're not even aware of what we're doing or how we're doing it or how we benefit from something. But we need to give close thought to that as followers of Jesus Christ, as those faithful ones. And we need to be annoyed when we discover those places of injustice. Paul was annoyed. It was a good thing he was annoyed enough to confront this injustice, to get in the middle of it. He's annoyed to the point of activity. God, may we all be annoyed past our inactivity to do something, to care and to be about things. I think most of us here are members of the church. I don't know, and it doesn't matter, but in the United Methodist tradition, our membership vows include some set sentences. One of them is, do you acknowledge the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? And the persons coming for membership respond, we do. We accept the power that God gives us. The freedom and the power, but now we need to be annoyed to get on with it. So here we sit, and we are in a world in the midst of sometimes calmness, sometimes just a beautiful harmony. But in the midst of that, if there are injustices, who is going to stand up? Whose job is that? It is our job as Christians. Jesus is the righteous one of God. And Jesus calls us to righteousness. Righteousness is another way of saying justice, of properness, of doing right things and doing them fairly. Opposing evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms we find them. Lord God, guide us to be those Christians, to be annoyed enough to stand and to act and to bring righteousness. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and sing about that. This is The Faith We Sing, 2190. I'm going to call Melba to help lead us in Bring Forth the Kingdom. Stand, if you will.
City of God, shine brightly in my dark.
kingdom of peace.
Bring forth the kingdom of justice.
Bring forth the city of God. My tongue was stumbling a little there. Was yours? That was a rush. But hear that message, bring forth the kingdom of God. Justice and peace and all of those things. And we believe in those and we demand those things for ourselves. As Christians, let us demand those for all people. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife.
I thank my lucky stars to be living here today, where the flag still stands for freedom and they can't take that away.
From the lakes of Minnesota
to the hills of Tennessee,
across the plains of Texas, oh, from sea to shining sea,
from Detroit down to Houston
and New York to LA.